Nagali, we do make you very welcome, and we trust that the Lord will draw near to your heart tonight and give you much encouragement as you are seeking to live for him in these days. We trust that throughout the week you will know his presence as well in your home and in the various duties that you have to see to. Again, for our own congregation, please do remember Tuesday evening we will have a message up there, God willing, and it is primarily for you in the congregation, for everyone else too, but especially for you. And we trust that you will benefit from that. And then as we pray together from 8:30 to 9:30, again, that you will know the help of the Lord in the place of prayer. Please do remember every day to pray one for another and to look to the Lord for better days in the whole land, not just as far as the virus is concerned, but spiritually too, that a great revival would come and that there might be a great turning to the Saviour. Do remember planned outreach around the doors in the coming days. We are trusting that there will be outreach in Lower Ballinderry and Upper Ballinderry and Achillea as well, and pray for good weather and that everything would come together regarding that. Now we're going to have a word of prayer just now before we turn to the word. Father in heaven, we thank you again that we can look to thee. We do rejoice in thy love toward us. Thank you, Lord, for thy grace which has saved thy people. And Father, we thank thee tonight for the preaching of the cross. We do remember the words that while the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, to those that believe it is the power of God. And Father, tonight we thank thee for that time when we personally believed and received to the salvation of our souls. And Lord, we pray this evening as thy word goes on to sermon audio and on Facebook too, and as men and women and boys and girls would watch and listen, that the word of the Lord might penetrate their needy heart, that, Lord, burdens would be lifted at Calvary, that men and women might be born of thy Spirit. Bless us now and turn into the Scriptures. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. I'd like to read some verses this evening in the book of Numbers and chapter 27. Numbers and chapter 27. Numbers 27, reading there in the opening verse. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters: Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us, therefore, a portion among the brethren of our fathers. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a man die and have no son, then he shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. Amen. And we're trusting that the Lord will use his word tonight and bless it to the salvation of some and to the edification of his own people. We're looking here tonight at the daughters of Zelophehad. That is the title of our message. And I want to say that here were five young women, daughters of Zelophehad, and they had shown a great faith in the promise of God concerning Israel and the land of Canaan. They knew that God had promised that land to them, to the children of Israel. They didn't have it yet, but they knew that God was as good as his word, and they come in their need to Moses. Now, essentially, they want something to be done for them. In those days, it was traditional for the sons to have the inheritance. And the daughters then, these daughters, they didn't have any brother. And now they're coming and they're saying, well, we want to have the inheritance instead. Very simply this evening, as we look at these girls together, at these five sisters, we have a tremendous picture of how unconverted men and women can be brought to God, can be reconciled to God, and this very night can be brought from darkness and danger into the safety and to the salvation of the Lord. And I have given a title, as I said, to the message, The Daughters of Zelophehad. And I want you to notice just very simply several things concerning them. We have here, first of all, the predicament of no heritage. These girls have come along and they've said, we don't have any heritage. We're, in other words, when you reach the promised land, there's nothing for us there. We're going to be isolated. And we will be left, we will be separated from the rest, and there won't be anything there for us. They would be isolated. But they would also know that if that was the case, then they would be in peril. Because literally they would be outside the camp. Now, there were some things that were very notable about them. They believed in the power of God to conquer the giants of the land. They believed that God was able to perform that which he had said he would do, and that he would indeed one day give to his own people the land that flowed with milk and honey. And they believed that with all of their hearts. So they were not just living for time. Of course, they had to live like everyone else from day to day, but they had an eye on the future. And they looked at things and they thought, well, as it stands, we are not prepared for the future. There's no inheritance for us. They believed in the power of God to conquer the land for them. They looked to the future. And what they had heard, I have no doubt, was a driving factor, a great motivator in them coming along and looking for this inheritance. Remember, we're looking at the predicament here of no heritage. There was nothing for them when they first came along to Moses. And they would have heard about the grapes of Eshcol and how fruitful the land was, the pomegranates, the well-watered land, and how different it was from the wilderness. And they knew that this was out in the future, and they wanted to have a part in that. But presently, there was a predicament of no heritage. An unsaved person tonight, I would like you to think honestly. As you consider your standing this evening, would it be fair enough to say that you believe that there is a God? And more than that, you have read stories of, or you have personally encountered changed lives, and you have seen the power of God at work. And maybe since you were a young boy or a little girl, you have heard the story of how men and women can be transformed through the power of conversion and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe all of that? Would it be also true to say that, like so many in these days, with this virus in the country, that maybe you've been caused to think a little bit more than normal, than you normally would, about the future? And you've looked out into the future and you've thought, well, beyond this life, I don't have any certainty. And you have heard. You have heard of the heavenly Canaan, the place where the land that flows with milk and honey. You've heard all about it, how there's no pain there. There's no crying there. And there's no death there. There's no sin there. And that is where those go, where souls go who have trusted the Lord in life. And you've thought about that, and you're looking out toward the future, and you do not have a heritage. Over in the book of Job, and chapter 20, says there in verse 24 of Job chapter 20. Sorry, verse 28 of Job chapter 20 says, the increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. They'll depart. They'll flow away. There'll be nothing there that will be of any avail to you, or of any benefit to you. It says here, this is the portion of a wicked man from God. And very often the word wicked is used simply to describe those who don't know the Lord, who are not saved. It says there in verse 29, this is a portion of a wicked man from the Lord, the heritage appointed unto him by God. Not a very sobering thought. Is it not a very challenging thought tonight for you? That as you look out to the future, remembering all that you've heard, believing that there's a God in heaven, and then reading a portion like this that shows us this is the heritage that God hath appointed for those who do not know him. Over there in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 24, shows us there of a day to be thought about and feared. The day of the coming of the Lord, and it shows us there in verse 36 of Matthew 24, it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Then it says, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. And then it goes on to say there in verse 40, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. The other left. There's the separation. There's the isolation. There's the imperiling. One is taken and the other is left. Verse 41, two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Again, we see the other one is left. And men and women, there are so many other scriptures that show us and point to that time of separation, that time when men and women who die without a heritage will never have a heavenly heritage. Over there in Matthew 25, verse 33, there's a reference there to the sheep, those who know the Lord, and the goats, those who don't. It says, in verse 33 of Matthew 25, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And we want to move on down through the chapter there to what it says in verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. In other words, there's a place prepared for those who have rejected his mercy, rejected his grace, and turned away time and time again from life as it was offered in him. Those on the left, they're told, depart from me. Is that not separation? Is that not a tremendous picture of those who have no heavenly heritage? I'm going to read what it says in the book of Revelation, in chapter 21. It says there in verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These are troubled times that we're living in. Times of uncertainty, degree of sadness too, with the effect that this virus is having and claiming lives. But you know, for the sinner, and that might be you tonight, you've never made Christ your Saviour. And for the sinner, I want to be very clear tonight, there are far, far worse days ahead. Far worse days ahead. We've read about them there in Revelation 21 and verse 8. And if nothing else in that verse seems to tie in with you, remember it says there, and unbelieving. The unbelieving. You have known, but you have never believed in the sense that you have received. On this evening, there is the predicament of no heritage. How different it is for Christians. What confidence they can have. Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 11, this is what we read there. Speaking to Christ, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Peter spoke about an inheritance that was incorruptible and that fadeth not away. That is the future of every believer. But how different? How different from the future of those who don't know the Lord? And as we look tonight at the daughters of Zelophehad, and they weigh up how it is with them, and they think, well, for the future, we have nothing. I wonder, whatever, it doesn't matter what you have now, but as you look out to the future, what are you depending on? Have you a heritage in heaven? Can you truly say tonight, yes, I will be in that place where there's no more pain, and no more death, and no more sickness? No more separating. And the Lamb, the Lord, will be the glory there in Emmanuel's land. Can you truly say that to me? It was with these five girls, the predicament of no heritage. But secondly, there is the pleading that brings new hope. In verse 5, it says there, it shows here in these verses that they came to Moses. And Moses was our mediator. The word mediator, something meaning the middleman, the go-between. And it says there in verse 5, and Moses brought their cause before the Lord. He brought their cause before the Lord. As they stood now, with all of the anxiety that was with them, Moses, he began to plead for them. And as he was pleading with God for them, they knew that this was the only avenue of hope for them. As they desired that portion in the land that flowed with milk and honey. And you know, men and women, the Bible has a few things to say to us about mediators. It says to us over there, and maybe you're even familiar with the verse in 1 Timothy 2, and verse 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You look there, you see Christ as a sole go-between. He is the only mediator between God and man. And it says, who gave himself a ransom for all. That is the price. The price has been paid for the redemption of all of those who will trust the Saviour. Thinking here of the Lord Jesus Christ as the mediator. So there is here the price associated with it. He has paid that. But if we look over in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of the better covenant. Now, if you look up there with me in verse 24, it says, but this man, because he continueth ever hath an unchangeable priesthood. And you compare that verse with what we're reading there about his excellent ministry, and he's the mediator of the new covenant in verse 6 there. We have permanence. And that is what you need tonight, men and women. Something substantial. A mediator. You're in your sin as it is, but there's hope. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator. He's the only mediator between God and man. He paid the price. His ministry is permanent. And over there in the next chapter, verse 15 of chapter 9, says, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament or the New Covenant, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, if you compare that with the verse before, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God, to purge your conscience from dead works, to serve the living God. Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption, that is to pay for or to buy back all of those who will come to him, eternal redemption for us. That is his actual procuring of redemption. So this mediator, he's paid the price. He has a permanent ministry as mediator. He has procured eternal life for all who will come to him. So if you've been feeling hopeless right to now, you can have hope tonight. Take hope tonight in him. As our one final thought here, as we're looking at Christ as a mediator, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Remember, Abel's blood cried vengeance. The blood of Christ pleads mercy. See that? It says, the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Therefore, as mediator, he prevails in heaven. So you think tonight of this mediator, the only mediator between God and man, the one who's paid the price for our redemption, the one who prevails in heaven tonight, the one who's a permanent minister, the one who has procured salvation for all who will come. So you tonight, sinner, are in a very privileged position, not because I'm preaching to you, but because God in Christ stretched out his hand tonight, and he says to you, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if you will do that tonight, your life will not only be changed, but your destiny will be changed. And these four girls that we're looking at tonight, because Moses was their mediator and brought their cause before the Lord, there was the pleading here that brought hope. I wonder what you're going to do with the Lord tonight. Must move on to the next point. There was not just the predicament of no heritage, the pleading that brings new hope. There was the procuring of new hope. Look at verse 7. It says, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. This is the Lord speaking. Thou shalt surely give them possession. I shall surely give them a possession. Now, if you took time tonight to look with me over there in Joshua chapter 17, it says in verse 3, which Elohihad, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no son, but daughters. And these are the names of the daughters, Mahla, and Noah, Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, now here's what they're saying. It says, they came before them, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father. What are we looking at here? They had to come and ask. Yes, Moses was the mediator. And God said, yes, they can have an inheritance, but they had to come. How many times? How many times preachers have become frustrated? When men and women seem to understand everything right up to this point. But when it comes to the appeal, as it were, which is very often in the message, to come to the Savior, then they don't want to follow any more of your teaching or preaching. You remember Zacchaeus in the Bible? He was a tax collector. He was hated. He was certainly corrupt. Every inch of him was corrupt. But he was very anxious when the Lord was passing by. Climbed up a tree. You can almost picture him there. Hypothetically, he must have looked. This man whom nobody wanted anything to do with, he was up the tree. And you know, the Lord called him down. He came to the Lord. And wherever you are tonight, he calls to you. If you're in the grip of addiction, whatever it is, maybe alcohol or some kind of drug, maybe pornography, whatever it is, he calls you to come. He calls you from addiction. He calls you from religion. If that's all you have, you might as well have nothing. People rely on a lot on your church. It's Christ you need. And he calls you out of religion. There's so many people in the Bible and books like the book of Galatians where literally scores and hundreds of people all called out of religion, called to Christ. Just as he called to Zacchaeus, he calls to you. If you're in addiction, if you're involved in religion, or maybe you're just plainly indifferent, he calls to you, but you need to come. You need to come as a sinner to him. Come to him as you are. Just as these girls, we read about them there in Joshua chapter 17. They came looking for their inheritance. And you come tonight and you can receive an inheritance in heaven. One final thought. And it is the possession of new heritage. Things were different for them. After they were given their portion, there was for them a feeling of security. They had that heritage now, that inheritance, and they could settle there and be content there. And there was great certainty attached to it because it was at the commandment of the Lord that they received it. And again, men and women, if you will come tonight as a sinner, come and trust the Savior, resting upon his atoning work on the cross, you too can know security. Security that's found in Christ, secure in him for all eternity. There's great certainty attached to those words because the Bible shows us clearly that no man can take us out of his hand, and you can settle there. And as you look out into the future, you will not be looking with great dread and the thought of there being nothing there for you that is good. But rather, as you look out into the future, you can know that the Lord will be with you in life. He will be with you in death. And then you will be with him throughout all eternity. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But he also said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I wonder tonight, would you not come? It doesn't matter where you are or who you are. I was looking in a little book fairly recently, and I was reading about the man who led D.L. Moody to the Saviour. It might have been Kidmal, you called the man, but young Moody was down at the back of the shoe shop. He was just repairing shoes. And this man came down and he witnessed to him the best he could, and he thought he made a terrible job of it. And there in the back of the shoe shop, the Spirit of God took a dealing with D.L. Moody as a young man, and he come to the Saviour. Wherever you are tonight, surely we've said enough tonight to have you understand that you need Christ in your life for eternity. You can come tonight. Remember the daughters of Zelophehad. They came to Moses. No future. He pleaded on their part. They went and asked for their possession. And then they had that contentment in knowing that they had a future in the land of promise. And spiritually speaking, that can be your experience tonight. But again, I exhort you to come to the Saviour. Make no delay. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts this evening.